And welcome back to Dad's on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. Dad's on the Air is the program that brings you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on the topics of fatherhood and masculinity. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and with me in the studio today is Ken Thompson.
Hi, Bill, and thanks very much for having me in the studio again today.
Now, our guest today is Mario Leecher. Mario is a barrister. He was admitted to the New South Wales Bar in 2005 after being a registered and psychiatric nurse for over 15 years. Mario Leecher brings a unique perspective to the practice of criminal law. He has a strong interest in AVOs, that's apprehended violence orders, and he is the founder of Amends Domestic Violence Advocacy Service, Amends, dealing with men facing AVO proceedings. Mario, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Bill. Pleasure.
Now, Mario, this is a very topical matter, the matter of family or domestic violence in our community. You've founded a men's domestic violence court advocacy service, and many people would probably ask, why is a domestic violence service for men required?
Well, I was toying with this idea for many, many years after being in court and seeing men standing up by themselves in court alone to deal with AVO matters. And I saw in court a mismatch or an imbalance of power where they were facing their former partners who had the police prosecutor and a domestic violence liaison officer and a support person all helping them. And the men were by themselves of no help. So after many years of thinking about it, I decided to start up this service where I could help men that do not have lawyers and give them some resources to deal with the situation.
So are your services, you offer them for people that don't have lawyers, is that's important that they don't already have somebody appointed to act for them?
That's correct. I don't want to be seen to take away work from other lawyers that already act for men. My service is primarily, and the sole purpose is to help men that just do not have any lawyers, don't have anywhere to turn to. They can always contact me.
And so why did you particularly see it for men as distinct from all the people? You mentioned that, is it women only that get this help that men don't get?
Well, no, not really. The majority of the people that get this help are women, but that's because what I see in court is the majority of people that want AVOs are women. So they have all the support. However, having said that, if a man does want to take an AVO out and the police do that on behalf of a man, they will get most of the support, not all of the support a woman gets. For example, they will not have the support person there that's primarily there for women. So men are treated a little bit differently in court, and I'm trying to make it a balanced field in court by offering this service.
So can you tell us a little bit about what an apprehended violence order is? I mean, if an order is made against you in court, what is the effect on your day-to-day life?
Well, many people in the public don't understand that AVOs are different. You can have domestic and personal ones, and I'll put that distinction aside. But you can have an AVO that purely stops a person behaving a particular way that might intimidate you or might harass you. You can have an AVO against another person and still live in the same household. They're the mandatory AVOs. There's also other orders the court can put in place. For example, you can't go to a particular address or a particular school or a particular workplace, or you can't contact a person unless certain conditions are met. These AVOs are designed to be specific to a specific issue that might be before the court.
So in your experience, what normally provokes someone going to court to get an AVO?
Well, my practice, and I can only speak from my practice experience, is that the majority of AVOs that I get, men are the defendants, and the majority of those AVOs I would class as frivolous and vexatious. I have had AVOs that are well and truly warranted against men, and there's no doubt there. I've had AVOs where women are the defendants. Unfortunately, I see a lot of AVOs being used for other purposes, such as the family law.
Well, when you say frivolous and vexatious, that sounds pretty serious. What are the consequences if a court determines that an application is frivolous or vexatious?
Well, I haven't seen anyone being reprimanded too much in court. The costs may come about. That may or may not satisfy a man if he's a defendant.
So how much would you be talking about if a costs order were made?
Well, that will depend. That will solely depend on what's just and reasonable, and how long the process has been you've been involved in. If you've only been there for a day, the cost would be much, much lower than if you've been in an AVO situation, been in court two or three times.
So, are you talking, say, $1,000?
Well, I would say minimum would be $1,000, but if you spend $10,000 defending an AVO, well, then that's on the table. What's just and reasonable, the court will order. There are strict conditions and strict criteria the court must meet when granting an AVO, and they keep changing, and it's all legal arguments in the end. I just find that I must say this because I have seen men be at the receiving end when men try to take out AVOs themselves privately, and they don't engage the services of a lawyer. A lot of emotion comes in, and a lot of things that they think are relevant is in the application, and those things are not relevant for the court to decide the AVO. And one poor fella in particular ended up with about a $10,000 cost order against him. So I would strongly urge men to speak to a proper lawyer that knows about the AVO jurisdiction, and to speak to that lawyer quickly. Not save it to the last minute.
Yes, because you hear a lot about, men, I suppose it applies to everyone, but they're encouraged, say, by the police to accept the order but make no admissions. So they feel that, yes, all right, I've got an order against me, but I didn't admit to anything, so it can't come back and hurt me in the future. Is that something you would recommend against?
I would recommend against that, yes. There are a lot of good reasons. First reason is that the clear obvious one is that if there are going to be family law proceedings on foot already or in the future, an apprehended violence order does affect what happens in the family court. We all know, if we've dealt with AVOs, that if you have a firearms license, with the making of a final order, you already relinquished that right to have a firearm license for the next 10 years, you won't be able to get one. What's less known about apprehended violence orders is if the children are named on the order, that means if you apply for a job in the next 10 years and you undergo a background check, if you're a teacher or a nurse or a doctor, this AVO will come up in the next 10 years and you'll have to explain yourself why you have an AVO against you that has children on it. So I'm not saying do not ever consent to an AVO. What I'm saying is make sure you get some legal advice before you do. I have in the past given advice to my clients to accept the AVO, and that's been because of the situation they were facing.
And that would be rather an unusual one where you would consent to an AVO.
Well, there's two that I can think of at the moment that stands out amongst the many I've had. Both of them involved children, and both of them involved some serious allegations. One in particular, I have no doubt if we had challenged it, we would have been successful. But the problem was the client was a doctor, and if any of the allegations were proven, his ability to work was no longer going to be an issue for him. He just simply couldn't work. When I approached the police with my concerns about the case, and I approached the police with an offer which was far removed from their original application, the police accepted it with no issues. That told me the police knew very well that the accusation was very, very weak, but we couldn't take the chance. So we accepted on an interim basis. an AVO, and the interim AVO does not have the same effect in a background check as a final AVO had. So in this situation, it was a very good result. Everybody was happy. The police, the domestic violence liaison officer, the parents of the children were all happy. And that was a very good outcome.
Yes, we might take a short break here. We're going to be playing a song by Jimmy Reed. This song's called Honest I Do, and I'm sure honesty is a big factor in the AVO courts. Welcome back to Dad's on the Air, where our guest today is Mario Leacher. Mario is a Sydney barrister, and he has set up as the founder of a men's domestic violence advocacy service dealing with men facing AVO proceedings. So, Mario, you mentioned then that there are occasions when it's an idea to consent, but I assume that you'd really want some good legal advice before you just automatically agreed with what was being suggested to you, perhaps by the police.
I would say yes to that. Definitely get some legal advice. The magistrates would give you a standard talking about what it means to have an AVO. It's not a criminal record, and that's correct. It's not a criminal record, but there are other avenues, other things that you need to look at before you consent to it. And I'd recommend always speak to a lawyer.
Yes, and I presume it may not of itself be a criminal matter, but it could be used in evidence against you if it did proceed to a criminal court.
If there's an allegation of a breach, and that may very well result in a criminal charge of breaching an AVO, and that is a criminal offence. There's no doubt there.
So, yes, you're putting yourself at risk. So, Mario, what would be the steps in a typical AVO matter? I mean, there's an argument at home, for instance. What happens then?
Well, if there is a complaint against a man and the police decide to take out an AVO, there are three types of AVOs in existence. There's a provisional AVO, which protects a person from the time it's taken out to the first day in court. There's an interim AVO that protects a person in the short term, and then, of course, there's a final AVO. Now, the criteria that needs to be met on all three AVOs is different. The standard of proof is the same, but what the court needs to look at is different. I actually wrote an article which I've given several times about the criteria, and I freely give that article out to anyone who wants it. And people can just make an inquiry and I can just send it to them. There's no issues there. It very simply describes what the court needs to look at.
Yes, we can put those articles on our website. And Mario, you've got your own website?
I have got my own website. It's www.guiltynotguilty.com.au.
Guiltynotguilty.com.au, a great name. So, Mario, we just mentioned then about that first step. What would you say is the profile of, in your practice, of those people who apply for an AVO?
Well, I get a lot of people applying for an AVO that, when you read their statements, it gives you the impression that they're there for a different alternate reason, especially when I get the father or the male defendant telling me what happened or the history of the relationship. And that needs to be investigated more by whoever is the lawyer giving this person advice. I see a lot of very, very superficial arguments, some historical arguments, which may or may not be relevant to the court, it depending on what's been said and how long ago these things happened.
So it's pretty easy to get one of these things going with far-reaching consequences if the court finds against the respondent.
Well, it's certainly easy to get things going if you're a female. I have to concede that. A lot of males that I've spoken to that go to the police often don't go anywhere. They get met with, "She'll be right, mate, just man up" type attitude. Mm. The AVOs that go before the court does look at them seriously. And sometimes the accusations are so great that the court's compelled to make an AVO. And of course, I'm assuming there's no criminal charges associated with an AVO. For example, if there is, there's a different process with respect to granting AVOs.
Now, Mara, you've had something to do with him changing the procedure, improving the procedure, in a number of articles that have been favourably mentioned in court. Could you just tell us what the effect of those articles has been?
There was a new practice note that was brought out by the local court. And the local court practice note is a note that's just guides people on how certain procedures are done. When that practice note came up, I identified two problems which prompted me to write an article which was published the month after. And those two problems were then, to my surprise, rectified in an amendment of the practice notes. Now, defendants have an opportunity to object to giving a statement because it may incriminate themselves. And if they don't comply with the practice note procedure, it doesn't necessarily mean the defendant will have an AVO granted against them.
Mario, I've got one question. Violence in terms of AVOs, is that defined exclusively as physical violence, or is it broader and broad enough to include acts of emotional violence?
It definitely does include acts of emotional violence. It includes intimidation. It includes emotional trauma. It does not only include physical violence.
Because I think there's a perception that it's to do with physical violence, and I think perhaps that may be why men are far more reluctant to actually approach the police or approach the courts and seek a domestic violence order, because I think most men think that the only time that type of order can be issued is when there's a physical violence, and in most cases there's a perception that it's the man who initiates that violence.
I think you're right there. If I can urge men to embark on a course of conduct that whenever they feel they are being intimidated, to report it to the police, no matter how trivial it may seem. It's very important to know that in my practice, I get men that have described over many years this emotional type of abuse. But to be honest, where does that get you when you make a complaint to the police? It doesn't get you anywhere. When men are violent, they tend to be physically violent, and you see the evidence. When women get violent, they can physically attack men. I have seen it many times, but most likely it'll be more of an emotional psychological type attack.
Is there any kind of official report or some kind of reference number that that men should seek from police when they make a complaint or if they're seeking an AVO?
Yeah, that's simple as well. When you do make a complaint to the police, always get what's called an event number. It'll be a capital E with a whole bunch of other numbers afterwards, and keep that for your records. That will be permanently recorded on the police COPS system. What people may not know is every time you do contact the police, they record it on their system so it can be instantly retrieved down the track if needed. So by reporting this emotional type behaviour to the police, it will be recorded there of date and time when you made the complaint.
Could you give us a couple of examples of what emotional violence might be towards a male in particular?
Sure. There is many things that could be emotional violence given the situation. And some of them look trivial. They do look trivial. I mean, you come home and you're late from coming home because you've been out with your mates to the pub for an extra hour or so, and you get yelled at, you get abused. That's a domestic violence there. You get other examples where the woman might put you down for different reasons, attacking your masculinity. These are things that aren't physically violent, but they're violent. I see a lot of cases where women would take out an AVO and give a particular version of an event, and that same event is described completely differently and much more innocently in the family law proceedings. So using other avenues to make life very stressful for a man would be another form of violence. Not necessarily physical, but damaging nonetheless.
Now, Mario, you deal with the legal aspects. At the end of the hearing, sometimes the people that have been dragged through these proceedings still have problems. What do you suggest that they should do then?
Well, before coming to the bar, as you quite rightly said, I was a registered and psychiatric nurse. My job was to pick up things that might be wrong with a particular person I'm speaking to. So if I get the hint that they are depressed or they're anxious or they got anger issues, I would always refer them on to outside sources. I work with a church in Liverpool called Inspire Church, and they have counsellors there, they have courses there, and I refer people on to and encourage people to do such courses and to get help outside the law to get things put right with them. All these services are free, as my advice to people that come to me with AVO, it's all free. So there's no cost to them. If there is a cost, I don't know about any cost, but the guys and girls that I work with are quite happy to get a referral from me for people to come to different courses.
Oh, Mario, you're providing a wonderful service in the community, and we're very grateful, and we thank you for coming onto the program today to tell us about it. Now, we ask all our guests if they'd like to pick a song to take us out, because unfortunately we're running out of time. Mario, would you like to tell us which song you've picked and why?
Well, I've picked a song called Wasteland. It comes from the album Wasteland. Now, the church that I go to in Liverpool called Inspire Church has a youth section called Intensifier. Last year they brought out this particular album, which in my view is the best praise and worship song in the last 10 years to come out of this country. The words are, I think, very relevant to men. It's men often feel that they are by themselves, that they are alone, that they are out in the desert wandering for 40 days and 40 nights or, and they have no help. What I'm saying to them is that there is help, and all you have to do is pick up the phone and ring or contact me via email, via my website, but do it sooner than later. And this is what this song's about.
So this is Wasteland by Intensifier.
Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, where I have redeemed you. Forget the former things, for I am doing.
And that was Wasteland by Intensifier. We'd like to thank our guest, particular thanks to our guest today, Mario Leacher, for telling us about apprehended violence orders. Mario, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you very much, Bill.
And we'll be back next week with another program. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can always go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email telling us where you heard the show, and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. And from Ken Thompson and me,
goodbye.
Goodbye, and we'll see you again next week.